From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made when you go to vote during a pandemic, and maybe you won't go anywhere at all. We've seen the long lines in Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin, last month, as Wisconsin Republicans blocked efforts to delay or change the primary election there. Many polling sites shut down. People had few options. Here in New York State, the April special election date was moved to coincide with the June primary, and Governor Cuomo issued an executive order requiring state officials to send postage-paid absentee ballot applications to all voters in the state. The governor said, quote, "No New Yorker should have to choose between their health and their right to vote," end quote. New York is one of more than a dozen states that requires its residents to provide an excuse to receive an absentee ballot. That changed last month, and now the governor says everyone can vote from home. Vote by mail. Will they? What's the best way to hold elections during a pandemic? How can we ensure that all voters have access and opportunity to vote? Neil Albrecht, the executive director of the Milwaukee Election Commission, told the New York Times that if states and the federal government don't do more to help voters in November, especially starting now with urgency, the barriers for some of them may be insurmountable. Albrecht said, quote, "A lot of people suffered because of the government's lack of responsiveness. What I mean is they lost their right to vote," end quote. This hour, we will ask listeners, are you prepared to vote differently this year? What about your friends, your family, your neighbors? Do you know what you have to do to make sure you're ready to vote absentee? Let's welcome our guests for the hour. Hello to Jesse Lenny, state committee member of the Working Families Party. Jesse, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Evan, thanks for having me on.
Hello to Dustin Zarni, commissioner of the Onondaga County Board of Elections. Dustin, welcome. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us. And Susan Lerner is executive director of Common Cause New York. Susan, welcome. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Delighted to be here.
Well, there's a lot that we need to get through here, but let me ask all of you to kind of give us the broad overview here. Susan, what's your biggest concern about elections, access, and planning, whether we're talking June, but especially November? How do you see the landscape now?
So I think our biggest challenge is being sure that people know about changes that have taken place for the June election, that people understand they're going to have three ways to vote in June, and that they have choices based on their own individual situation. That's a big change for New York. I think it's really positive. I think it's really important that we're having this discussion far in advance of the June date. We're not going to make the Wisconsin mistake of having changes, you know, the day before the election. And we're hoping that the same advantages which and benefits which are being provided to primary voters will continue into November, where people will have three ways to vote. You can vote in person, early voting, you can vote in person on election day, and you're going to be able to access an absentee ballot. Everybody's going to get an absentee ballot application in the mail if you're a registered voter. Three ways to vote in June.
Do you see, Susan, enough happening already to get things moving? And what I mean by that is, it's one thing to say we're going to do it one way. It's another to actually do it. And the New York Times piece by Emily Bazelon compares it to actual coronavirus response. She writes, to fundamentally change the way voting has been done in states, governments will have to move quickly to sign contracts with vendors and then order supplies like specially certified paper for envelopes and ballots, high-speed scanners to count votes, secure drop-off boxes. If they wait, they'll risk running into shortages like the ones that have troubled the country's efforts to create a pipeline and a supply chain to fight the coronavirus.
Which, Evan, I think you've put your finger on why our state hasn't gone to an entirely vote-by-mail system, because we don't have that supply chain. We're a state that has a history of a very low absentee ballot rate because of the requirements that you have to swear that you have a constitutionally approved reason to vote absentee. So it's a big change. I sympathize with my friends who are election commissioners, but I know they're working tirelessly to be able to send out the application forms and to crank up their ability to do absentee voting. So the fact that this has happened in advance gives us a much better chance to have it be successful.
But do you think after the pandemic, we ought to change how we do things and become one of those states? I mean, there's a list of, I think there's five states now that have said that you can do absentee no matter what, and then there's a list of other states where the requirements are lower, the thresholds are lower. Should we change what we do here?
Well, we've already started to do that, Evan. In the very first day of the legislature in 2019, the Let New York Vote Coalition and others saw the reforms they were advocating for passed as a democracy package on day one. And one of the things that was passed was the first pass of a constitutional resolution to change our constitution to go to no excuse absentee. That is the first step that we need to take to be able ultimately to be a vote by mail state. But you know, people are misunderstand what vote by mail means. People think it means that you don't have the opportunity to vote in person. Every state that is a vote by mail state, what is by mail is that you receive your ballot by mail. But you then have choices about how to cast it. You can mail it back. You can leave it in a special drop box. You can still vote early and you can in person, and you can still vote on election day in person, even in the states we think of as vote by mail.
I'm looking at those five states that have universal vote by mail.
They all have in-person voting as part of their package.
Sure. Utah, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, and Colorado, and they are not dominated by just one party. I mean, research indicates that voting by mail tends to be neutral. It does not obviously benefit one political party or the other. And Commissioner Czarny, how do you see the reforms that Susan's talking about, and how do you feel that the state and local governments and leadership is prepared for June and for November?
Well, you know, it's been an interesting last couple of months. And commissioners across the state are dealing with this with teamwork and trying to get it done. A lot of the changes that Governor Cuomo has put forward in his emergency orders have been, sea changes to how we do and process votes. But this is where New York is eventually going to go. And it's good that we're addressing the needs of our citizens, that we're allowing people to vote by absentee if, they want to because of this COVID pandemic, that we're sending out applications to every voter with a postage paid return. And now the absentee ballots also have a postage paid return. So there's no poll tax, there's no limit, there's no requirement of somebody to go out and actually purchase stamps to be able to participate in their democracy. We are lifting a lot of barriers here, and I think we'll be able to reassess how this works after the primary and what worked well, what didn't, and see if we can put some of these things in place for the general.
Okay. Jesse Lenny, are you satisfied with what you've seen so far, that voting access is going to be there and that we're headed for the right way of doing things in June and November?
Well, I wish it was under better circumstances, of course, but I was very excited to hear and to see in my mailbox that applications were out in Monroe County on Friday. I'm sure every county is a little different. I don't know if I'll be interested to hear from voters if everybody got it on the same day or if they're sort of coming in. I think it's a great opportunity. I do feel for the workers at the boards who for the first time have to do this. I mean, I could see, I would just point out that I think Justin may know the numbers, but the normal people, I apply for absentee ballots every year because I travel for work, but the normal levels is like a couple thousand. We could see tens of thousands of applications, and they have to, for the same or less staff. So I do feel for them, but it's an exciting opportunity, and I'm interested to see how many people take advantage of it and also how many people may vote this time that may never have voted before because it's so much easier.
Well, I don't mean to
vote absentee.
And I don't mean to look at sort of the dark clouds, Jesse, but what is a worst-case scenario as you see it?
In what way?
I mean, in terms of access, participation, public knowledge about options that Susan described, what's the worst case, Jesse?
Well, I think, I mean, it's easy for me to say because I don't work at the board, but I think it can only be good. Because I think even if the more people that people should vote in person if they feel comfortable doing that, but the more people that do the vote at home, that apply and get their ballot in the mail. I mean, I get my ballot in the mail almost every year. I get to my mailbox, I fill it out and put it right back in the mail, and it's over for me. But the more people that do it, the less people will going to the polls. I'm assuming the board will try to maintain as many polling places as they normally do, which means we can spread people out, which will be good. So I think people who vote at home will be safer, and people who vote in person will be safer. So I think if it's just a couple thousand people, it'll be good. If it's 30,000 people, it'll be good. You know, depending on what, you know, if you have a primary, if your party has a primary. So I think the only downside would be if the board is overwhelmed, it will take longer for them to get the ballots out to the voters, and ballots may come in late. But I think, you know, I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by our board, all our boards in the state.
Yeah, listeners, I want to know if you're planning to vote differently this year. If you are going to vote by mail and going to vote absentee, 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@WXXI.org. And I want to work through some of the concerns raised, and I have to do this, raised by the president, but I also, you know, I sort of debated with myself how much I want to read of Bazelon's piece, but I'm going to read some of this now because I think this historical context matters. And let's do this with context. Number one, I'm going to repeat again, the research indicates that voting by mail, absentee voting, does not privilege one political party over another based on the research. So this is not a partisan thing. But in terms of whether the parties want more people to vote, this is what Emily Bazelon writes for the Times analysis. She reminds us that Paul Weyrich, who was the conservative activist and the co-founder of the Heritage Foundation, said the following at a meeting in Dallas in 1980, quote, "I don't want everybody to vote. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down," end quote. And Bazelon goes on to say the following. Quote, "Republicans usually don't talk openly about suppressing turnout in the way that Paul Weyrich did 40 years ago. But President Trump broke that rule, saying at a news briefing last month that he thought his party would lose if more people voted. The Democrats' proposals, he said, had things, levels of voting that, if you ever agreed to it, you'd never have a Republican elected in this country again," end quote. Well, in the weeks that followed, the president shifted to the preferred Republican justification for making it harder to vote. By preventing fraud. With the threat of the pandemic rising, the president shifted his tone. He called voting by mail corrupt. And he says, imagine thousands of votes are gathered and they come in and they're dumped in a location. And then all of a sudden you lose elections that you think you're going to win. End quote. All right, Susan Lerner, how do you view the president's critique that it's very corruptible, that it's not reliable and safe, and that this is a dangerous direction to go?
Well, unfortunately, as so much as the current occupant of the White House says, this too is a completely inaccurate, false, and just a bald-faced lie. There is virtually no voter fraud in our country. In the same way that Americans voluntarily pay their taxes, they're very careful about voting. And all studies show that it just doesn't happen. And we have safeguards built in to our absentee system that does not make it any more vulnerable than any other way that we vote. And so, again, this is fear-mongering. It's designed to discourage people from voting, and that is exactly the opposite of what we need in a healthy democracy.
How do you see it, Dustin?
Well, I agree with Susan. These charges of voter fraud have been labeled, levied against every voting reform that has ever come out there, mainly because the people who are leveling them have an interest in keeping voter participation low. In New York State, we have bipartisan election commissioners. That means that everything we do is checked by a member of the opposite party. There's no way that this type of rampant voter fraud that is made out as a, urban myth is real. And study upon study upon study has shown this. While there needs to be safeguards in place, and boards of elections have a duty to follow those safeguards, and every new voting procedure has those types of things that we have to think about. You know, the same charge was leveled against early voting just last year when we put it out there, and it went virtually hassle-free. We have systems that can resolve any kinds of voter discrepancies. And again, the penalties for doing so are so enormous. There is no benefit to voter fraud. I ran campaigns, and I'm sure Jesse can talk about this a little bit as well. I ran campaigns for years before I became an elections commissioner. If I had 20 people that were, you know, so dedicated that they were willing to go to jail and commit voter fraud, those are people that I much rather have on the doors and pulling people out by the hundreds as opposed to doing 20 or 30 extra votes on election day. It just doesn't make any sense. Vote by mail has been done in Colorado, in Oregon, and it's been done virtually fraud-free. We need to follow the steps of these states, go slowly, put the things in place that we need in New York to do it properly and the funding, but this can be a real benefit to the voters, and the fear of fraud is just that. It's fear.
Okay, Jesse Lenny.
Well, as Dustin said, I do work on campaigns. I'm helping my friend Hilda run for state senate this year. And to be honest, when we heard the news that every voter was going to get a ballot and every voter was going to get an application, we were a little nervous because we have to raise the money to pay for communicating with all those voters. So, but I think, we're Americans first and we believe in democracy and we especially want to keep people safe. So if this turns out to be, thousands of people vote, then we'll just have to do it. And I think there's an opportunity here as I'm trying to figure out how to do this work in the new environment. Is if a lot of people apply, and I think this is good for the voters, so I don't want them to think this is bad. If voters apply for their ballot and the Board of Elections gets that information out to the campaigns as they usually do, which obviously this year is bigger and different, then we can communicate directly with the people right before they vote. They get their ballot, they read everything, every campaign sends them the information, they read all the information, they vote, and it's over. So all that piles and piles of paper and the robocalls and the phone and all the stuff that we have to do to get through to people and the people, hey, we could probably get rid of that if this really works out the best way, and we could do it in a much more efficient way. So that's kind of what I'm hoping, and that's what helps me sleep at night.
All right, let me get some of your listener feedback here because Susan's time's a little more limited, and I want her to hear from some of our listeners. Chris in Greece first. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My husband is 70, and I am 68, and we are both voting by mail this year. We have always voted in person before. Last year, we did vote early, but it's just too dangerous right now for us to go out, especially considering our age.
Do you most of your peers in the same age group feel that way, Chris?
Actually, we haven't talked about it, but I'm assuming yes, because most of us haven't left our houses in weeks except to go to Wegmans. So
I'm with you there. Me too. Do you suspect that the state has moved fast enough to get the word out? And are you pretty comfortable that doing it this way is going to work out this year, Chris?
It's the best we can do.
Yeah.
This is all uncharted waters. I'll tell you, my son in California doesn't even know where his polling place is. He has always voted by mail, and it's just not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to set up, and we're not used to it, but, we're just going to have to do it because we have to.
Well, hang there, Chris. Go ahead, Susan Lerner.
And, Chris, I think we're well on the way to that. But remember, California has had permanent absentee voting where about 60% of Californians have been receiving their ballots in the mail through checking a box that says permanent absentee on their absentee ballot request for years and years. They've built up an infrastructure. It took Washington State 15 years to transition to an all vote by mail system, and they're just a fraction of our size in New York. So I think this year we're really getting a good start on vote by mail, and I think it's coming. It just takes time to get it right. And I'm glad that you're going to be able to vote by mail for June, and we're working so that you can vote by mail in November as well.
Oh, good. We just got our applications today, by the way. So I'm filling out mine now as you guys are talking about it.
You're not the only one. In fact, we have a pile of emails from people saying exactly that, which will make our guest by phone pretty happy to hear that, I think.
Let me remind people that if you don't receive it by mail, you can still apply by email or online.
or phone. You can call up your Board of Elections and apply by phone as well.
Okay, so lots of different ways to do this. All right, Gregory in Rochester next. Go ahead, Gregory.
Hey, Evan, it's Greg Girard here. I just wanted to chime in. I am traditionally an elections inspector for my neighborhood, so I'm one of those four people that sit in the room when you come and vote. And my concern is, who is going to staff the polls this year, not only in June, but more importantly, I think in November? I got the call to ask me whether I was willing to do it in June, and I honestly had to say no. And at 53, I feel somewhat of a concern that there would be a problem there, but I also have to consider my husband. I don't want to bring home a virus after sitting in the poll booth all day and you know, having hundreds of people come through there. So my concern is and I am the youngest person of the four people at my polling site, so I'm just concerned that there will be a lot of people that, like me, are not willing to take that risk this year, and I'm wondering if Monroe County is prepared to, how are they going to staff those in-person polls if most of the volunteer staff say, no, I don't think this is safe.
Yeah, Greg, I'm really glad you bring this up. So I'm going to kick it to Dustin first here. Thank you, Greg, for the phone call. Dustin Czarny is a commissioner of the Onondaga County Board of Elections, but this issue is going to be in every county. What do you do with this, Dustin?
Well, we are recruiting. This is going to be a problem both in the June and November elections. Luckily, in the June elections, we usually can operate those with about half the staff that we need in November. We need people, especially younger people, that are willing to work the polls. We have, in our county, and every county is doing this as well, working with our county agencies to provide PPE equipment for those inspectors, and also having a cleaning regimen in the polling stations as well. We have federal CARES money that is going to help with that as well. But we're probably looking at some consolidation of polling sites. Hopefully nothing as drastic as we saw in Wisconsin, now that, as Susan said, that we're dealing with it now, today, 42 days ahead of the election instead of seven, we're well on our way to trying to resolve some of these issues. But it is part of our, this ever-changing primary that we've been dealing with here, and we're going to continue to work with our inspectors, work with our party activists on both sides to try to recruit more, our candidates, and the general public as well.
So in our last minute with Susan Lerner, before we have to let her go, let me just ask you to respond to this as well, Susan, because, I've got an email from Bill who says, my county is trying to recruit elections inspectors too, but many inspectors are at-risk older adults, and I'd like to see 100% vote by mail. Probably, it's just not going to happen this year, but are you concerned about getting the right people or enough people to work polls this year, Susan? Susan Lerner, are you there?
Yes.
There you go.
Of course we are concerned about that, but I think I see this actually as an opportunity. Unfortunately, there are too many people who, because of the health emergency, have lost their jobs or are, maybe furloughed. I think this is an opportunity to recruit a younger set of poll workers and really to provide employment opportunities. You can employ teenagers as poll workers. And I think there are guidelines which the EAC and the CDC have put out to keep polling places safe. And I think that this may be a way in which we actually get younger people to be working the polls.
I've got to let Susan Lerner go. She's the executive director of Common Cause New York, but I hope we can continue to have these discussions because a lot changing quickly. Thanks very much for the perspective, Susan.
Thank you, Evan, for having me, and I'm happy to come back.
You
Take
got
care.
It. You got
Bye-bye.
It. Also with us this hour, Dustin Czarny is a commissioner of the Onondaga County Board of Elections. Jesse Lenny is a state committee member of the Working Families Party. I've got a pile of your emails and phone calls to get through, and we'd love to hear from you as well. If you want to call the program, do you have concerns about voting in person? Are you excited or, open to voting by mail as we see absentee opportunities for all New Yorkers this year? What are you thinking about voting? I want to hear from you because what we want to do is make sure everyone knows that the pandemic is not going to cancel the elections, but things will be different. You can vote by mail if you want. You can vote in person early. You can vote in person on Election Day. It's 844-295-TALK, toll-free. 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. We'll get more of your feedback right after our only break. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections, we talk to people who have had COVID-19, how it hit them, what the recovery has been like, what the symptoms were like. Now, COVID-19 is different for just about everybody. There's no two cases that are exactly alike, but we think hearing the experiences will be instructive as society gets ready to make some changes. That's coming up Tuesday on Connections. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Let's keep working through your feedback here. Deirdre says, given Mr. Trump's recent negative rhetoric about the post office and his appointment of a totally inexperienced postmaster general, will there be systemic problems with trying to vote by mail? Dustin Zarni, I'll start with you.
Well, you know, obviously, we can never guess exactly what's going to happen with the federal government and the post office. I will say that, budget issues that the post office has is a problem of congressional making, and it can be fixed pretty easily if they would bring up this legislation. I know that the Democrats in the House have said that it's going to be part of the next COVID funding package, so I hope it will be. And I don't think it's not a concern. I think it's something that we have to be concerned about, because everything we do, every little thing we do at the Board of Elections, not just vote by mail, but registration, acknowledgments, mail check cards, everything that we do relies on the post office. I mean, it is intertwined with our electoral code. So, we need the post office. The post office is basically, a partner with the boards of elections. And I will say that the people at the post office we've talked to are pretty confident that they're going to be able to meet our needs this year and, throughout the year. We're working with them on these mass mailings that we're doing now, and they've been incredible. So I do believe that the bureaucracy in the post office is a good thing. It's going to shield them from some political missteps at the top, it is something that I'm concerned about. I'm talking to all of my representatives on both sides of the aisle about, because this is something that, we always see that with the Trump administration, rhetoric, comes first and then action comes later. And so this is something that Congress needs to protect us against.
Well, and let me follow up with you, Dustin, and then Jesse, with an email from Pat, who says, Evan, I received my absentee form and I am requesting an absentee ballot for what is now in my district the less important June 23rd election. But a question, how are these absentee ballots opened and entered? Is there a bipartisan committee when they are opened? So that's one question. And then Pat follows up with the second. When it comes to the critical November vote, I will mask and wrap up to vote in person so that I can control what is entered into that machine. I'm sorry to sound paranoid, but with the post office to go under the control of a former RNC postmaster general, I trust the absentee method a lot less. Would a mail carrier become partisan and upon seeing a Trump or Biden sign in my yard make my ballot disappear? I want a tamper-proof election, and I need to know all safeguards that would be taken with absentee ballots. That is from Pat. So, Dustin, I'll start with you, and then I'll ask Jesse if he's got similar concerns. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, so the good news is, yes, absolutely, there is bipartisan control on everything that is received at our office, whether it's the application or the ballot itself. There are two sets of eyes, and both elections commissioners, both Republican and Democrat, need to rule against the ballot to have it be thrown out. So, you are protected by our bipartisan system here in New York. That being said, it needs to get to us. And I understand, those concerns. But what people don't seem to understand is that with absentee voting, you don't have to put it in the mail. It can be dropped off at the Board of Elections, before Election Day. You can be dropped off at any of our early voting sites. It can be dropped off on Election Day, at any of the polling places that are open as well. So those options are available to you. Absentee ballots are not counted until after Election Day. So you have 7 days after Election Day for it to be received in our office, but it needs to be postmarked the day before Election Day, so it gives time for it to travel by mail. And when we do count those absentee ballots, there are bipartisan eyes there. We check and make sure that people didn't vote in person or early first, and then we pull those absentees if they do. That way nobody's vote counts twice. So there is a lot of, checks and balances in place.
All right. Jesse, Lenny, any concerns that the emailer shared?
Well, I mean, I would try to assuage some of the fears. I mean, the post office is sort of a stalwart. The budget cuts aside, we should be supporting the post office more than we do. It makes the elections happen. It makes a whole lot. It makes the economy happen. We certainly should support them more. And I feel where the caller is coming from. You know, the choice between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders and others was a very important choice. But I just would stress there are very significant choices that the voters have to make, especially if you're going to vote in a political party's primary. In some districts, like in the district Hilda's running in, there's three candidates running, I'm sure our Republican opponent would feel differently, but essentially we believe that whoever wins that primary is probably going to have a much easier time in the general. So it will still be a contest, but we really believe that the Democratic voters in that district will make that decision, so people should come out and pay attention to what's going on. I think a similar situation happens in a lot of places. People who think like Democrats live in the same place, and people who think like Republicans live in the same place, so the primaries really dictate the outcome. And in terms of fraud, I would just tell you, I mean, I'm as partisan as you get, and I plugged my candidate twice already. I'm probably going to plug her again before Evan kicked me off.
Don't make me regret asking you on the show.
Yeah, I was like, probably one more time, you probably won't ever let me on the show again. I would do that, but I would not commit a felony. I would not, I was on Evan's show 4 years ago, and I basically predicted the end of the world if if our countrymen voted for a certain person for president. And yet I would never, it would not even occur to me to take a Trump ballot. I mean, I talked to several Trump supporters in Ohio and other places, and, I'm an American first, and I also don't want to go to jail for a felony. So, I would, especially people who are in the public service, in the post office, the Board of Elections, the penalties are pretty stiff, and we should make it more, we should make it stronger. New York is like starting out really at the beginning, so we can make it better, but I would just encourage people to vote any way they can, and maybe someday we'll have some kind of feedback loop where we can say, did you get my ballot, and is it cast, and can I see a picture of it, or something like that. But I would also say to people, it's important to have, I think it's going to always be important to have in-person voting, because one of the other criticisms of this is that I vote as soon as I get my ballot. So if my ballot comes next week, we've got 40 days left in the election, I'm going to vote because I already know who I want to pick. I've said her name three times. But things change. So people, we don't want people to be afraid to vote at home because they don't know enough, or that they think something is going to come. If something happens in the next 40 days, you're going to have 9, 10, 11 days to vote early. And you can always go on election day, and your vote counts when you walk in. Like, the last vote you cast is the one that counts. So I think it's important that people always have that option. I'm not sure how it works in states that are all mail, but there needs to be a way for people to vote conveniently early. But if something happens, they can change their mind.
All right. I'm just going to work through questions after questions. And this is great, by the way. I mean, there's so much engagement on this subject, and listeners, we're so glad to be able to field these questions for you. With Jesse Lenny, State Committee member of the Working Families Party, Dustin Zarni is a commissioner on the Onondaga County Board of Elections and a veteran understanding this process. Before I jump back into your questions, I just want to put a fine point on what Dustin said. Listeners, if you hear anybody echoing, and I hate to say this, but echoing the concerns of President Trump that absentee votes are just going to end up in some box in some room somewhere and someone's going to light them on fire or throw them down a well, that is not what happens. They are protected. There is a tremendous system in place to make sure that they are protected in bipartisan or nonpartisan ways. And just please don't let anybody convince you that they're just going to take your votes to the shredder. I mean, that's just not what's going to happen. But... Let me, having said that, let me keep working through the questions. Two different Richard questions. I'll ask Richard number one wants to know, if I request an absentee ballot and then I lose it or don't use it, can I still show up and vote in person that day? Dustin.
Yes. In fact, that is why we cannot count absentee ballots until 7 days after the election. We have to get to voter history from early voting and election day. And that is something in our system that is in place now that we may have to change if we ever go to an all vote by mail system. But it is also something that viewers and listeners are going to have to understand. When you're waiting for results on election night, you may have to wait a week.
Yeah.
Because with the more absentee ballots that are going out there and the inability of boards to canvass those until after the election, we may not have sure results until a week after. You see that in California all the time, and it's not because somebody's in a back room changing votes. It's because we can't count them until after election day, and that's to allow people to go in and vote on election day. That is something that is new and different to New York. It's going to be something to get used to during this primary. And if we have these rules in place for November, in November as well.
That's the law, right?
That is the law. You can't change it. And it's also, part of the Constitution as well for New York State. It's why we can't go to an all vote by mail system, because you do need an excuse to get an absentee, which means that you do have to apply for it. That's why Governor Cuomo didn't move to a full vote by mail system. And we have to wait for the Constitution to be changed. And the earliest that can be done is 2022.
So listeners may have already forgotten Iowa. The debacle of Iowa this year was only 3 months ago. It feels like 3 years ago.
Oh, gosh.
But that was 3 months ago, and that was very different than what Dustin's describing. Dustin is saying, get used to the idea that we're going to have to wait days or a week or more before we have full results in some or a lot of different races because of just the volume of absentee. That is not the same as using an app that falls apart or never worked in the first place. So just be ready. Be ready for
it. And it's okay that we're going to take time to find out who won. On my election night this last year, we had a 45-minute delay in results because we had a problem with one of our vendors that was putting up our results on the election day. And you would think the earth had stopped rotating. Those 45 minutes felt like four or five hours. And we had follow-up after follow-up questions. Now, we're probably looking at, we're not going to be sure until 7 days after the election, mm-hmm. and that is okay as long as we get the right result.
All right, so back to your phone calls. Joel in Churchville does not trust voting by mail, Joel?
Yes, I don't trust it.
Okay, well, why not?
I tend to be very skeptical of government in general, and I don't think your panel helped by having all people on your panel support voting by mail. I don't hear a dissenting voice. And when you give an example of the states that have gone all voting by mail, you name all Democrat liberal states like Oregon and Washington. And as a Republican sitting here, it doesn't inspire confidence in me. I would prefer to hear some voices that were opposed to it. That way you could hear both sides.
Okay, so hold on 1 second here.
But
hold on. Just to kind of answer that first point, Utah is dominated by Republicans, and that is one of the five states that have universal vote by mail. Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, and Colorado, which has plenty of GOP strongholds. So this is not just blue states.
That's nice to know. Utah is a solid red state.
Yes.
Three of the four others. So far, the only state that's borderline is Colorado. And recently, that's been going Democratic. So,
okay. Yeah, so Joel, hang here.
Want more voting by mail.
Yeah, so stay there if you can, Joel. And let's let Dustin Czarny, a commissioner on the Onondaga County Board of Elections, respond to this. Go ahead, Dustin.
No, I am a Democrat, and I understand the need to hear from both sides. But I will point out, in Colorado's case, when they went to vote by mail, it was the Republican County Clerk Commission that advocated for vote by mail in Colorado. It was the Republican Secretary of State there that instituted instituted it. And I had the a great opportunity to learn about vote by mail from these Republicans. A few years ago, Common Cause had a panel that brought these Republican county commissioners up to New York to kind of, you know, give us a primer on this. And, they stressed about how nonpartisan it was, how, that it was, both sides were doing it in Colorado, and that, every study, and it simply is true, every study that has showed vote by mail has shown that it has not helped either party one way or another. And we saw the same thing with early voting, where early voting started in Texas, as blood red as Texas can be sometimes. It started in Texas and in the South and in Florida and these other places, and it was not a Democratic reform. It was just a reform that allowed participation. And unfortunately, some partisans have reflexively been against all of these reforms for whatever reason whatsoever. But usually it turns out that these reforms just help participation and don't particularly help one side or the other.
Okay, Jesse Lenny, you want to respond to that as well? Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on, Joel. Let's let Jesse jump in too, and then we'll let Joel respond. Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, I think I feel what the caller is saying. I didn't expect the ballots to be delivered on Friday because they did such a good job. And so I think Evan and Megan put the show together really quick. But I do want to address the concern about the post office, because I feel voters should be comfortable with what they're doing, no matter what I say. So just because I say nothing to worry about the post office, you shouldn't have to take my word for it. So there's actually a part on the ballot that you can authorize someone to pick the ballot up for you. Now, sometimes I just don't want to deal with the mail. I don't want to wait. I don't want to have to send it back. I don't want to pay for postage. So sometimes if I know that the ballots are going to be printed about 40 days out, I'll just show up to the Board of Elections. I'll apply right there. I'll get my ballot. Now, you don't want to do that now because it's harder, because what's going on. But I just get my ballot and I vote right there. And then I get the general in the mail. But this year, if you have someone, or if you have a campaign that you trust, or a family member that wants to vote this way, you can authorize them. Any of my friends listening, I'm going to be going down there every other day myself anyway for the next 40 days. So you're welcome to authorize me to pick up your ballot and I'll deliver it. And I'll make sure that you get it and I'll make sure that it gets in. Now you have to trust somebody to do that. And that way, if you don't feel comfortable with it being in the mail, especially if you're going to put it in the mail pretty late, it might make sense to either have someone deliver it for you or deliver it yourself. But I think that having that option is a very good option. And I already have people that have applied and want me to pick it up when I'm down there for anything else that I'm down there for.
Joel, what is the primary concern that you have with voting by mail?
Well, my personal belief is that people should make the effort to vote on voting day, and they should have to prove who they are at that time with voter ID. I've always believed that gun rights and voting rights are very important, and it seems like I want to see either both be encouraged or both have more restrictions, but it seems like one right, voting, is being eased, and the other right, guns, is being tightened. And they're both constitutional rights that I find very important. And I would just like to see more other voices and a little bit more safeguards.
Okay, but Joel, let me just ask you one more question before I let you go, because I appreciate what you're saying, and I think that your goals are probably reflective of goals of people like Dustin and Jesse and so many others here. But I think what I'm hearing in your voice, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that your concern is that if people aren't asked to show up in person and to show ID, that the system could be taken advantage of? Is that a concern that there's?
I definitely don't have as much belief in the competence of others as other people do, and I do believe there are ways to manipulate the system.
Okay, Joel,
I don't have as much. Yeah, I don't have as much confidence in. When people don't show up in person.
Okay. Joel, I appreciate that. And I hope you'll continue to engage with the program. And I'm really glad you called. I do want listeners to know there just is not evidence that as voting has become more accessible, and by that we mean early voting, by that we mean more absentee, universal absentee, et cetera, There just is not evidence that widespread fraud has occurred. And I am as eager as anybody to show the evidence if it exists, and I don't give a darn who benefited and or who did not. But there is not evidence that it has led to widespread fraud, and that is, I don't believe for a second, Dustin Zarney, because the evidence does not show that there's some sort of widespread conspiracy, that as we have eased some of the restrictions and taken down the barriers to entry, that all of a sudden we've got widespread fraud. Right?
No. And in fact, you know, the evidence is actually quite the contrary. With every voting reform we have even additional fraud checks in place with early voting, with vote by mail, with, you know, increasing, you know, voting registration, same day registration. All of these things have additional fraud checks in place, which has actually gone to actually reduce fraud. Whether that's a causality or not, it's just the way it is. And there's nothing out there that has shown that voting reforms increases fraud, and there's ample evidence to show that it's actually decreased voting fraud over time.
Candace Rogers says, I received mine in the mail today. None of the absentee request choices apply to me. I am working the election, and I want a ballot mailed to me. How do I make that happen?
That's actually a different ballot. That's not an absentee ballot. You would get a special ballot from your Board of Elections. If you are working the election for the Board of Elections, you get a special ballot. However, Governor Cuomo has, and if that's not the case, if you mean you're working a campaign or something else, you know, Governor Cuomo has stated that the temporary illness portion of the absentee ballot is broadly interpreted for the June election because of the pandemic spread of COVID-19 and the state of natural disaster that has been declared. The state of emergency that has been declared. Anybody can choose that option and get a ballot that wants it. So if you're not actually working the polls, if you're working for a campaign or work, you know, but you're doing so and you want an absentee ballot, you can do so using the temporary illness, because any voter in this area, in New York State, can do that because of the spread of COVID-19.
Joanne is one of many listeners asking a similar question. We've hit it once, but I'll do it again because people keep asking, which is this. If we ask for an absentee ballot, can we still vote early or in person if the circumstances permit? Answer is yes, right, Destin?
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it's not illegal. It's actually, before this expansion of absentee, it was the law that if you could vote in person, you had to, and only if you were out of the county or sick would you not be allowed to vote in person. So you can put in an absentee ballot and then feel free to go to your polling booth either early voting or election day and decide to vote in person.
Sarah wants to know, what happens if you mail in an absentee, change your mind, and want to vote on election day?
Well, again, you can vote on election day. You can also, by the way, request another ballot be sent to you. There's lots of options here. Absentee balloting is pretty liberal with a small L in the sense of that you could request another ballot. So let's say you put in a ballot and then you change your mind on who you want to vote for, or you just, you know, want to, you know, do it again for whatever reason, you can request that the Board of Elections mail you another ballot, and then when we get that second ballot, your first ballot will be pulled.
All right. Mark says, elephant in the room, do we still get I voted stickers if we do it by mail?
I think that's going to depend on county. You know, some counties do I voted stickers for primaries. My county does not. So I think it's going to be harder to get I voted stickers if you're doing it by mail. But, you know, check with your county about that.
And Richard, I think reflecting a similar concern here, Dustin, he says, our one concern is that the form still asks the reason you were voting absentee. COVID-19 was not one of the reasons, nor was there another category. So we felt like we had to lie on our return, which makes us feel badly and opens the possibility of our ballot being ruled invalid come election time. What do you say about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, this is what we are dealing with is the actual, you know, reason you need to use is temporary illness for the COVID-19. It's not on the state form, which is what the form that most people get mailed out, because we have not actually changed the form that's prescribed to by law, what the form says. But we have expanded the definition of temporary illness to allow for COVID-19. So if you use that that reason, or really any other reason. It's not something that is widely policed in a sense of, you know, especially now with Governor Cuomo's order that this is only for the June primary.
So, Richard, you're safe. They're not going to invalidate your ballot. And let me squeeze one quick one in here. Jack says, my concern is that on Election Day, they're going to say, who could have predicted that so many people would vote by mail? The two people we have counting absentees work part-time. This is going to take 6 weeks to count. What can I, as a what can I as a concerned voter do to help them get counted in a timely manner? Jesse.
Well, I just wanted to make a prediction.
Yeah.
I mean, in Monroe County, I think a little over 44,000 people are going to vote, and I think about 28,000 of them are going to use absentee voting.
More than half.
I think so.
I could tell you that in Onondaga County, we've already sent out about 5,000 ballots, and we sent out 2,700 the entire primary in June of 2016. So,
and are you going to have staff to count so it doesn't take 6 weeks?
every board is getting ready for that. That is not something that you know, has not been brought up, so we're getting ready.
So, listeners, three ways you can vote in June or in November: in person early, in person on Election Day, or by mail absentee. If you send the absentee and you change your mind, you can request another, or show up in person on Election Day, or show up early, so you're not held to that first vote. They're trying to be flexible, and they're encouraging it for safety reasons. Dustin Zarni, Commissioner of the Onondaga County Board, thanks for the expertise, Dustin.
No problem. Thank you.
Jesse Lenny, State Committee Member of the Working Families Party. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you, Evan.
You got it. Rob Braden, the engineer. Megan Mack, producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Talk to you tomorrow.